Hey, Greg Bornstein, consciousness disruptor, cultural hypnotist, host of Open Loops here. We're going to continue part two of Don't Listen Up. Yes, Jennifer Lawrence is playing one of the supporting roles in this podcast. She's one of the very good-looking sound waves. Or is that Timothée Chalamet? This is the conclusion of the Billy Meier two-parter. I watched Michael Horn's documentary that, remember, you can reach out to him. Go to theyflyblog.com. He'll send it to you for free. Very generous of him. This Billy Meier, this case touches a lot of people's lives all over the world. It's a radical story. And if you're ready to find out who Billy Meier or what Billy Meier is, after you've listened to part one to get that thorough intro, it's the episode before this, plug yourself back in. This will break paradigms forever. It's Open Loops with Greg Bornstein. Conversations that bend. Why him, of all the people?
Good. So I'm going to give you the answer I give to people, meaning the preface, according to the information in the case. That means that I cannot prove the following statement. I can only tell you that it's what's stated here. And as far as I'm concerned, it's fine if it is, it's fine if it isn't. Here it is. We already covered the fact that there's such a thing called reincarnation. And according to the information in this case, there is a very, very ancient spirit form that had already gone through the material evolutionary existence billions of years ago in parts of the universe that we don't even know if it ever had life in it, but things have long gone to energy. It came and it went, and there's whole stories about what that was. It said that there was a very powerful leader of peoples at that time who had established societies that lived in harmony with these true creational teachings, the laws of nature and the universe. And as he did his evolution over then countless more millions of years until his spirit no longer required a tangible physical body, only a semi-material, you know, the kind of stuff, the new age wet dream that we ain't going to get to for a long time. So he finally reached that level of evolution in what's called the High Council in the Andromeda Galaxy. And then from there, in pure spiritual form, moved into the lower levels of the pure spiritual realms. The lower levels meaning the entry level, if you will, what's called the Arahat Athersata. And that's a highly evolved level, but it's not the highest level. So anyhow, in that level, then it was offered, because of the way things were going in the material worlds in our universe, that a prophet could come, one who had already done evolution and done all the lessons in this life, to re-enter into physical human material reincarnational cycle and be subject to the whole thing all over again, except he would come in at a level where he had certain knowledge and abilities available, but not the full package he had up there on the Arahat. But he could come in with enough of it so that he could come back and try to help certainly the worlds that he had when he was manifest as a leader in their earths, or whatever you want to call it, to help to bring them back to the teaching of the spirit and the teaching of the truth and teaching of the life and creation, so they would get away from the wars and the terrorism and the domination flying around the universe and blowing things up and being crazy, and the wars amongst themselves. And he did that. And over a period of time, utilizing what were called a global peace combat troop, this meant not just human beings who would be soldiers, but android, robotic fighting, you know, machines, if you will, that would operate under certain parameters to try to take under, let's say, control those who were the ringleaders and the troublemakers and all, without killing them if possible, because the laws of creation really dictate that the right way to deal even with the most serious of crimes is not to kill off the body and the person, because you then create a stagnation in the evolution, and that person doesn't get the opportunity to have to be put in a place where they can do no harm to others, and must then deal with their own conscience and with any of the teaching material that's made available to them, that they may realize that this is not right evolution path. And let's just say, under the best of conditions, and some of these people going back a long time had very long lifespans, very long,
right, hundreds.
If they were taken, in possession of, so to speak, and imprisoned, if you will, or put into these same-sex environments where there was no chance of getting off, no chance of procreating, and only those things that they could use for their own sustenance through self-responsibility and the education to learn the teaching of this creation energy teaching, that they would have as much opportunity and time to come to, you know, contrition, to atonement, to realization, to rectification, so that when they did pass from the life and they had the reincarnation of their spirit again, that new personality, that new incarnation of, as a person for the reincarnated spirit, would not be handicapped by having to start from a place where all of its lessons from the previous lifetime were cut short, and where they stopped in a place where violence and aggression and domination were the furthest point of their evolution. Now, in terms of Billy Meier, Billy Meier then wasn't Billy Meier at the time. At that time, that personage was known as Nocodemion, for what it's worth, and he would go on to perform this prophet role for different worlds, and to try to help have people who would help to spread the spiritual teaching, who would come as teachers of the teaching, and he would help to get that straight. And then when that came to this world, at least 13,500 years ago, even though that spirit form came long before that, but when this particular mission started, he appeared, and there was a prophet then called Enoch. Actually, it was twice that there, these get a little details, you can't do anything with, but Enoch, then Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah. Wow, we know those names. Emmanuel, well, we don't know, we'll get back to Emmanuel. Well, let's tell you who Emmanuel was. Emmanuel was a prophet, teacher, contactee, whose name was changed and his story was changed a bit so they could create a person who never existed called Jesus Christ. And then, oh boy, we'll get back to that in a minute. Then Muhammad. No, Muhammad did not marry 9-year-old girls. He didn't enslave people. He was a liberator of women and children, but that got falsified in the Quran. And then my version of it is, after you've had these six previous prophets, whoever's in charge of this gig saying, well, what are we going to do? Electronic age, the final guy comes. We've had the guy who overturns the table in the temple. We've got the firebrand on a horse with a sword and people crucify. What do we do this time? And somebody says, I know. By the time people find him this time, he'll get all this material out. He'll be a late middle-aged, pot-bellied, one-armed, gray-bearded Swiss farmer. Nobody's going to start a religion about anybody like that. They said, that's it. So Billy Meier gets to pop up, and people think he's simply a Swiss farmer, which is fine. They don't know that the man has got a level of genius that is unparalleled. If you read him, you go, oh my gosh, are you serious? When he's 10 years old or 12 years, he writes something, you're reading it, and you're going, who wrote this thing? A 10-year-old kid. And you go, no 10-year-old kid could write this. Okay, it's not about, oh, wow, Billy Meier, great guy. See, everybody wants to believe. No, it's not about a cult. You don't believe me. You don't have to join anything. Just the guy who did the gig. Okay. So That's the gig, and the gig has been done now. They've gotten all this information into our world. Sure, they're sharing more because of the pandemic, but they put everything into the world that we needed to have from here on, so that maybe in 800 years, maybe in 800 years, we will have a basically civilized world where people are not killing each other over pieces of paper and coins and glittery, you know, pieces of stones and belief systems and imaginary gods and all the rest of it. They really will get, oh yeah, we're here to take care of, to be good stewards for this planet, because everything we can see out there that isn't made by a person, that's all thought made manifest and animated. It's life. And even things that we don't think are alive have complexities to them, whether they're rocks and stalactites and all this stuff is created somehow. It wasn't done by a guy with a long beard, and it's a mystery. And wow, what if we really see the interconnectedness of every single thing and every single person and recognize that that is what love is. The certainty of the knowledge of the interconnectedness of everything. And our job, if you want, is to learn so that we can get along and learn from everything. And in our sciences, which will then grow and evolve in commensurate to our mental consciousness, spiritual capabilities, we will create great things for our world. And as we become able to fly the coop and become space travelers ourselves, to in the trillions of years remaining in this universe before it collapses in on itself, we will go forth and we will find other worlds where people are slowly evolving and going through the different things that we've gone through, and with great understanding and compassion and love and not wanting to mess up what they're doing or anything else, we will find the way when they're ready, when they can receive those who come from outside of their world, we will be among those who come to try to present the teaching, to offer some things for their betterment, and to help them evolve, because we are here to live and to help live, not to do for others, to live their lives for them, or to punish them or to invade them. We are here to know this real love, that even the people that hate us or we might be honest, we love them. We don't have to like everybody. When we see that that human being that's just passed us or is on the screen or anywhere, that is person animated by an immortal, eternal spirit deep in the brain, just like we have, we can't hate it. We can't hate anything. We can fight against things that are done in ignorance. Evil is ignorance in a way, and fight to correct and to protect and to help and to heal. But we do it from a place that is neutral. It reminds me of something I once read long ago when I was searching through different religions. I think it's in the Bhagavad Gita, where Arjuna the warrior is talking to Krishna. Believe me, I don't remember much else from the whole damn thing. And Krishna, and Arjuna is saying, hey, I don't want to go out there. He's an archer, he's a warrior. I don't want to go out and kill people. I just don't feel it. And you know, it's karma and this, that. And Krishna says to him, what you must remember is you are here to protect. And when you protect your people and you do it without hatred, when you do it as your duty, when it's your duty, and you don't try to harm and torture, but you do what's necessary, you do not accrue any, you know, they use the term karma or whatever. It's not a guilt upon you. It's only a guilt when we do things out of hate and evil, and we want to torture and kill and all of that. So it's knowing what one's duty is in life, or what the various duties are as we come to find them. It isn't all about military things. There are different duties that we recognize to protect the innocent and the helpless, to help the planet. Everybody gets to decide these things for themselves. And when we're motivated by that striving to do the good, to find and live in true love and peace and freedom and harmony and wisdom and love, then we make mistakes. That comes with the territory. We're not perfect. We then correct our mistakes and we learn from them. And we're grateful. Our gratitude for everything grows. And we realize that we're wealthy when we have what we need.
Michael,
oh, what do you mean?
I got to ask you something here. I mean, I think this is a great message, but why do we need the aliens for it? Why do we need Billy's contact? Why not just go with the Bhagavad Gita or Buddhism or just a humanistic message of love? What does the alien piece, and especially Billy's contact with aliens, have to do what does that do to enhance this message at all?
Well, it's a funny thing because so many of the things that have evolved into our belief systems, religions, came from aliens, if you will, messing us up. This is a part I didn't get into that much, but it's pretty deep. This goes back over 22 million years, even to another star system.
Is this beyond the Sumerian tablets and Anunnaki? I mean, is there anything in there? Okay, what do you say about the Anunnaki and all that stuff? Complete crap or?
No, well, the Anunnaki, the whole thing, Zachariah Sitchin got some things right, but a lot wrong. Yes, the Syrians were the people, you know, the Syrians he was talking about who had the sculptures of people with space gear and all that. They were actually, if you will, descendants or let's just use the word to some degree, descendants of extraterrestrials who actually came from the Sirian star system, Sirius A and B. But he got it very wrong. There was no mining for gold to throw it in the atmosphere and all this stuff. The whole thing with, what's the darn thing that they call the
Mars, Nibiru?
Nibiru. Nibiru is a comet. It's an uninhabited cometary body that comes through the solar system, I think it's every 3,600 years. And the Syrians saw it, and the Syrians, they had mathematics and astronomy. They were highly, because they were tutored by very much more advanced beings. That's just in them. Now, when you go to the Bhagavad Gita, you've got quite possibly extraterrestrials who had the Vimanas, and they were doing their wars and crazy stuff. And then wherever you look in our history where there's a major religion, it does have gods connected to it, usually, sometimes goddesses. And these were people, and they screwed up things because they knew certain things of the teaching of this universe. It's a universal teaching. It's not Billy's, it's not the player. It's kind of what the universe has set in motion. We know there's a law of gravity. Well, yes. And we know there's a law of cause and effect. It's not like we need extraterrestrials. It's just that, unfortunately, some of the ancestors of these people were among the ones who came here and lorded it over primitive human beings who'd never seen a friggin', you know, a pen, let alone the flashlight. So the Lord is booming down, all this stuff. And so these people have tried from an oblique non-presence, just an oblique inserted through the prophets. Everything that was given to Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad got corrupted into religion. None of that stuff, they just changed so much of it. The real teaching of Emmanuel, which is the teaching, the same essential teaching that Meyer teaches in contemporary language, was discovered by Meyer and a Greek Orthodox priest in an ancient tomb in Jerusalem in 1964. Yeah, and translated. And then when it came out in English, then a professor at Oregon State University, comparative religions and all, thought it was a Bible hoax. So he went and got it, and he started going through it. No, he comes out with his own book, and he calls it Celestial Teachings, his book. And he says, this book, the Talmud Immanuel, is the original teaching upon which the book of Matthew is based, not the other way around. And he goes through, he says, 350 inconsistencies in the book of Matthew resolved in the Talmud Emmanuel. 150 of them weren't even known at the time this was discovered. And here was the guy who was a skeptic. He was going to debunk it. And then he got involved in the ufology part. He sent photographs of Myers, you know, like this photo that's behind me here.
Yeah.
UFO at the tree. He sent some of these where they're at the tree to forestry experts he knew up north at University of Oregon. And he said to them, tell me, is that a model tree? Is it a miniature tree? Don't even worry about the silver thing. Don't trouble your little head about it. Is that a model? And they all wrote back and they said, well, no, this is an Abies albus or whatever. It's 40 feet high. There's this nesting at the top that you can see. That happens there. Yeah, model tree. No, and there's pruning marks. We've got the photographs. There's pruning marks. No, they're not models. They're not miniatures. And they might have been curious, but he wasn't talking about the UFOs to them. So we've had independent analyses, not just the skeptical guy from Department of Defense that comes after me, other people since 1978 who've analyzed these things. They've analyzed the sounds.
Oh, yeah, the sounds, right? Isn't there a sound, too, from a spaceship that was captured?
Yeah, I wonder if I've got it handy here. Because, yes, of course, they deliberately created the sounds
everybody listening to this, if you're listening, these are the clearest photographs, and we'll link to this, theyflyblog.com. By far the clearest photographs I've ever seen of supposed UFOs. It kind of goes against Neil deGrasse Tyson's critique, right? Neil deGrasse always says, oh, well, why are they always blurry? Why are they always... But these are not, for some reason. Not at all.
I'm going to find you... I think I know where the sounds might be found here.
I mean, this is wild stuff. It makes you go like, why is this guy the only person in the world that can get a clear photograph of this thing?
No, the other people, there's five other photographers of them too. Oh. He's got the clearest ones, but his are the, you know, clearest, but there's five other photographers. He's got a video and it's on my theyfly.com. You can click on it where Billy he's videoing a UFO at a tree in the distance, and he gets in the frame so you can see the damn things a couple hundred feet away from him. It's just, honestly, the skeptics have done more harm to humankind than the government, the know-it-alls. Oh, it kills me. Now, I'm going to find that for you if you bear with, and if you don't want, I mean, I'll look while we speak about anything you want.
No, this is very interesting. Yeah, wow, I do see him on theyfly.com where you can see this video footage. It is...
Yeah. Billy's right down there, and if you click on it after a while, he'll step into the frame, and he zooms in on the damn thing. But all the know-it-alls, you know, they know, oh, it's a hoax and blah, 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 blah. You know, they can't do it. And there's a guy in England, he's made wonderful models. I even helped give him information so he could make his best attempt. Wonderful models, but he can't duplicate it. It drives him crazy. Oh, let's see. How do I find this thing?
So fascinating. What about, you know, he took photos from inside a craft too? There's some photos.
Yeah, I'll show you. Hold on. You know, I'm going to do that while I'm doing this with you. Maybe you'll be able to see. This is one of them. Right here.
Yeah. I see it behind you.
And then get my big hat out of the way. That one's out there. Then here's another one. Daytime above Switzerland. I'll get out of the way.
They let him take photos from within the craft?
Yes. They wanted him to. They gave him the best of everything so that, you know, that the primitive, stupid know-it-alls, our brothers and sisters here on Earth, would have a chance of figuring it out. But no, we know it all. You know, I mean, it's just, oh, help, somebody help. Let me just see here.
Why do we never actually see other things inside the craft? I mean, I want to see the panels. I want to see the technology. Is there?
Yeah, we want to. But the problem is, let's see, start download. Is this it?
I mean, I just want the whole field to evolve, right? We see these photos. We see it's always some object in the sky, but it's rare that you actually get some other kind of technology or photos of the aliens themselves. Or, I mean, that's so much rarer or more rare, I guess. That's the word. What is that? What else is there besides just flying objects?
Well, that's the thing. We've been given all this eye candy. But the game is to get past it. It was to start the controversy, really. That's why all of this stuff was done, so that people would get curious. They'd want to know more about this. They'd want to investigate, not get hung up on too much on the hardware. Let me see if any of this, people have used the sound recordings to make music or something or other. I'm just looking for where the pure sounds are.
It's all good. It's all good. The hardware is all I care about. I mean, there are claims out there that, in some ways, there are claims that the time travel devices that the U.S. has secretly came from the Roswell flight. I mean, do you know anything like that? Anything about time travel technology or advanced technology that the government's hoarding?
Here's something. We will, in a long time from now, if we survive ourselves, literally, we will get time travel. Okay, great. We don't have it. We don't have even real yet space travel. We throw tin cans, to the closest objects, around. We throw tin cans. It's not real space travel. And so we're going to have a long, long time for that. But Billy Myers, when we start to look at Billy Myers' evidence and question, well, did he, did he really travel in time and space? And oh my gosh, the stuff he talks about and recounts, we can't prove it. We can only go, well, what's the likelihood? Is this guy really trying to fool us? And why? What for? Why would he go through all this trouble? People try to kill him all the time. Why would he go through this trouble for no profit? Oh, he must be making millions. He doesn't. He has a nonprofit publishing group. And honestly, he's just the nicest guy you could ever meet. That's the funny thing. He's just a non-assuming, he's a very strong person, but he doesn't push anything.
Right. And so, well, then you got the Wikipedia article that just is a hit job. I mean,
oh, they won't stop.
He's a UFO religion, occupation cult leader and author. Myers prophecies repeatedly blame Jews. No, what's going on with that? What's up with that? Referring to Jews as gypsies. Is that, dispel that right now?
Yeah, you're right. Here's what happened with all of that stuff. Wait a minute. And I'm going to come back to this.
I want to hear the sound. Let's hear the sound first, and then we'll get to the Jewish criticisms. Can you turn it up a little bit? It's very faint, very faint, but it sounds pretty weird.
So that's when you do that?
Here. Yeah, oh, that's better. That's better. Yeah, yeah, turn that up. That noise does sound pretty weird, though.
What?
That noise is weird. I mean, what is that?
Very complex. It sounds very complex.
All right, so I'll send you that link so you can do that yourself.
Yeah, wow.
I will send it to you in an email. But let's get back to the Jews thing, because people think, oh, you're reporting the terrible thing about the Jews. All right. Here's what happens with that whole deal. And it had originally, I had a reaction. Oh, my gosh, why are they saying all these things? What happened was these alleged people, if you will, have kept pretty good histories on, well, just about everything and everybody in our world, if you will, our races, things going back eons and eons, long before we know anything about people being here. And what they explained, because he wanted to know the truth, he said, about Jehovah, about God, about Israel, about the Syria, everybody, you know, the origins of all the religions and peoples. And he was very fascinated with, he did a lot of his own scholarly research into, you know, the Aryan people and the people that came from this place. Okay. So he was told by the alleged extraterrestrial woman, Semyaze, that the original Israelis were not a real race in and of themselves, the Hebrews. They were a people gathered and brought together from various tribes, from gypsies, from outcasts, from all sorts of rough and tumble types out there in the Middle East, under the draw, if you will, of Jehovah, or and or other extraterrestrial gods. There were names like Camagol and Jehovah and different people for right. the purpose of, yeah, of having. Now, remember, when you go back to these original teachings, supposedly original, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, if you're the only God, who's what other gods could be before you? Well, there were other people vying for power. And there, you know, if you start to dig into it all, it's pretty, wow, really this and that, and that's different than the way it's written in this book and that book. So they, as part of the whole thing, when he wanted to know more about the history of the Jews, is it was explained to him that the people who became, you know, the Hebrews, the Israelites, and all of that, on the, let's say on the side, a positive side, because there's many things that they weren't, they said were really going to contribute to great harm, but they said these people ended up getting persecuted unfairly throughout history. And it was because of that persecution and being forced out of being accepted in society in certain ways that they were kind of given the a work of handling money in a way, you know, starting at the lower levels of, well, these people will just be the ones that do this kind of thing. Now, I'm not being articulate with the exact way it's expressed, but basically it starts off where they are kind of discriminated against. They only get into being able to use their abilities because he says the people's, you know, evolved and they're very smart as a people. And so they came into the financial worlds and the banking worlds and took control of a lot of that. And they, in the process of that, while it's not as a truth that every Jew is like a master of money and all of this stuff, that they got discriminated against harshly and accused of being the people running, whether it's Hollywood or all the banks or anything else. And of course, anti-Semitism. And they, in the past 10 years, even Meyer has written extensively about the dangers, the real rising anti-Semitism. He was given the true numbers of the, in the Holocaust, of people killed. I think the Jews, it wasn't 6 million Jews, it was 4,600,000. And I remember in one of the contacts, the extraterrestrial Ptah is giving him the actual figures. And he says something like, well, it wasn't 6 million, it was only 4. If one can say only about slaughtering 4,600,000, whatever people. And he said, what they've said is this is, and Billy was predicting this decades ago, the upsurge in neo-Nazism. Nazism and anti-Semitism, white supremacy, and racism of all kinds is going to come to the fore in the new millennium. This is what we're in now, obviously. So they have warned, and he was a person who very specifically exposed a book called The Protocols of Zion as an anti-Semitic hoax, formulated by a couple of, at least, if not more, people who had been in the Russian or Soviet intelligence in the early 1900s who wanted to scapegoat Jews.
Right.
So it's an untruth that gets perpetuated by people. Wikipedia does some very evil things, and it's not just this, to the COVID thing and all. You know, more and more an attempt at a world control through the EU, through various elites. You have organizations like BlackRock, which is a, and Billy was told about it. He was described this shadow government, which would be a capitalistic force that would be created in 1988, and it would be a shadow government, one of the shadow governments to the US, because he was told early on the CIA is the real government, and it's actually a world government. And he exposed all that in articles we have. I mean, there's things, he revealed the Microsoft backdoor into computers before it was exposed by Snowden. Pardon me, I don't know what's kicking through me here, but.
No, no, it's all good. It's all good. You've been doing a lot, and you've blown my mind several times tonight. So wait, he exposed Snowden or the?
He exposed the Microsoft backdoor into computers and the CIA Microsoft alliance.
Right.
We've got the document. I have it on my website for 8 years or whatever. Billy has stepped out on so many limbs exposing things, and you know, and if there is a, they've published a whole thing on what were real conspiracies and what weren't, which is very interesting. The problem with the conspiratorial mindset today, people who have no control over their minds.
And I was going to say, is there nothing in there about Hollywood pedophiles and elites eating children? Nothing really, right?
No, but he, back in early time, back in the 50s even, he was foretelling the abuse and the high level of pedophilia that would, you know, be exposed. Listen, my mother told me in the late 50s about the Catholic Church. I remember it still, and I don't know why she ever told me. She was, something came up, and I'm 10 years old, and she's talking about the terrible things that my mother had been an orphan in a Catholic, maybe this is how she knew, in a Catholic orphanage in Germany. And she'd, I think, even been in a convent brief, whatever, but she knew about it. And she said, you know, the Catholic Church for centuries has just molested boys, young boys, and of course girls too, but mainly young boys. And that you have people who are just doing vile things. It doesn't matter whether somebody is heterosexual or homosexual. It doesn't matter. Like Meyer has written, he says, you have to understand every human being has the right to be unmolested, to life. And whatever a person's sexual orientation and preferences are, is not to be infringed upon by society. You're not to condemn people because if women and women or men and men or men and women, yes, when you have an abusive thing where you have children, human beings well below the age of consent, that is wrong and you've got to protect that. But this society, the religions are so hypocritical with what they've done and how they persecute people of different persuasions. The witches, there's a whole thing in the Meyer material, I just came upon that, about how so-called witches, women, and some men, when they wanted to get rid of some guy who was causing trouble with the women, were persecuted. It was horrific what they did to women and children. And so this is, religion is one of the evil twin siblings, the poisonous, mind-enslaving violence and bloodthirsty self-human created thing. It has nothing to do with spiritual truth. Religions have adopted certain things from the truth, and that way, because here's the other, to me, what I came to think of, you know what, I know a lot of religious people, good, bad, and indifferent people, most people that I've known who gravitated, not who were just raised and mindlessly adopted, but who gravitated towards a certain religion, they did so because they wanted to do good. They believe in good, and they believe that there's a meaning to life and that there's something above themselves and that created life. And so here come, you know, well, step right up. We've got 20 of these things. Choose the one that you think is right. And then you're the authority and you can go lecture people and tell them that they're wrong if they don't believe it. And you've got this craziness that goes on with all this stuff. But the people who want the truth and who want to do good and who donate things and who are generous. And
what about the Vatican? What do they know?
Oh, they know the truth here because they know that Meyer's spirit form was the spirit form of a man named Emmanuel that they utilized and crafted into an imaginary Jesus Christ. And they
so wait, you're saying Myers is technically a descendant of the Messiah. He is technically the closest thing we have.
Let's try to be clear.
I know. I'm putting words in your mouth, but...
No, it's fine. The spirit, remember, the spirit is an impersonal thing. My spirit isn't Michael Horn. My personality is Michael Horn. You're Greg. This is Jane, and this is Judy, and this is Phil. But we're not. It's like, we're not, let's just say Albert Einstein. Let's just take something non-religious. He died. Now there's another person who's the reincarnation of Einstein's spirit, but he's not Albert Einstein. He doesn't have anything to do with Albert Einstein. But in this case, there's a spirit form that agreed. Again, this is not to be believed. I cannot prove it. It's simply the story. And it, in a way, it doesn't matter. It's not to make somebody believe. What they said is, okay, here's what it is. You know, here's Nicodemus. He comes to earth. There's Enoch. There's Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, Muhammad, and the final one who will have this ever evolving. It isn't even the same. It's an evolved spirit form because all spirit forms evolve. This will be a guy named Billy Meyer. He's not Emmanuel. You know, I like to say, well, you know, you consider him the second helping if you want, but he's simply the seventh and final prophet.
Final? Why is there no more after Billy? Or is there somebody that could come after?
No, because there's no need for it. We don't need saviors. We needed prophets, contactees who would take as intermediary with the extraterrestrials who had access to the spiritual teaching that had been brought to their worlds. And also they knew when each time, as is true with Meyer, when that prophet would be present, that prophet would have access to the original spiritual teaching as well so that he could deliver it.
But that scares me, Michael. I mean, this is an 85-year-old man. What happens if, you know, if we lose Billy in this human form? You said the spirit goes on, but there's not going to be somebody after him? I mean, what are we supposed to do?
We don't need anybody. We need, look, we will always have, there will be people who will come forward as leaders and maybe as minor prophets or spiritual teachers. Take this teaching in its form, who learn it and are capable to teach it in extensively in all of its aspects and, you know, manifestations in terms of the this very extensive thing. I'm a junior. I'm just going to go. I'm looking at, I'm thinking I'm going to keep. Okay. But each time there will be people who will come forward to point to it, who will live, also people who won't even know about it, but who will live in harmony with truth. And there are people these days who have nothing to do with Billy Meyer and the teaching. They're good people. And they live in a harmony with the laws of nature. There are many people in primitive tribes who actually live more in harmony with the truth than with all of our sophisticated people, because they haven't screwed everything up. They still live in harmony with the life, with those creatures. Right? And they may not be all intellectual and fancy, and they don't have technologies, but they can live, and they're evolving. They are evolving as we have come from that, all of us, at one time in one place. We might have been part of this race at one point, and that tribe at another. Everybody on Earth has their spirit forms have been reincarnating at least for a million or more years. And we don't remember that, thank goodness. We wouldn't want to remember being chased by the saber-tooths and hacked to pieces by the Vikings. So we get along, and at a time when it's to our benefit and we can handle such a thing, we will then start to have the abilities, far more advanced incarnations, not now, to draw upon consciously. Sometimes we do draw upon unconsciously. When you get into the spiritual teaching, the creation energy teaching, there's parts of us that are unconsciously or subconsciously from day one drawing upon the past life things in certain ways. This is this is beyond what you get from Buddhism, which has a really unpleasant history. Not the original guy, Siddhartha, whose life was very different. We know this from the information in this case, much more about the real Siddhartha and how he lived and the family he came from and his own lamenting how this would be turned into this crazy, also a crazy cult. So a lot of nice ideas, harmlessness and all this good stuff. But we have a book out from a guy who researched Buddhism, connected, and he got information also from Meyer. And oh my gosh, Richard Gear, he would have a real hard time with that.
Well, oh my gosh, we'll have to have another whole other episode debunking Buddhism. But wait a minute. So and there's a lot of stuff we haven't covered here. I mean, you've given so much of your time, and that's because there is just so much. I mean, the more I'm digging into this, the more I see there's a metal alloy that was given to him that apparently can't be explained.
It was examined, and people attack it, of course. It was examined by a man named Marcel Vogel at IBM. And Marcel Vogel was a child prodigy when he was a kid. He, by the time he was 10 or 12, he had synthesized the chemicals that create bioluminescence in fireflies. I'm a 10 or 12 bouncing a ball against a wall, okay? So, and of course, he was hired by IBM without any actual degrees. He was a genius who could do, you know, those who can't do, teach. And of course, there are many great teachers and many great scientists. I'm not knocking that, but he was a great scientist. He went out, he worked with crystals and all, he's attacked for that. Anyhow, he analyzes, he did electron microscopic analysis, and he said, hey, I can't make this. I cannot make this with any technology available to me as a scientist on Earth. So naturally, he's attacked by the skeptics. There's sound recordings. I briefly knew one of the sound engineers who analyzing said, well, we couldn't duplicate them with the synthesizers of the day either. It goes on and on like this. And all of the UFO experts and all the skeptics, what can they bring to the table? Their tall tales and their attacks. Not one piece of evidence. And this man, Meyer, he lets it be. He just says, well, up to each person.
What about the law of one teachings?
Well, I only know a little bit about that, and you know, and how it came out supposedly Ra.
Channeled stuff from Ra. Yeah.
Channeled stuff. The channeled stuff probably came from people reading stuff who then thought they were going to channel it. And I know that David Wilcock. And I've got a friend who just called me out of the blue yesterday, a guy I've known for over 50 years who wrote a book on Wilcock. He thinks he's channeling the Elohim, the creator gods of Earth or whatever, the universe. There's no such thing. They were human beings. They died. We know names. Everybody comes up with cockamamie stuff. Now, there's stuff in the law of one, I'm sure, as there is in every religion. True, there is good stuff in every religion. For instance, if people did one thing, which is in every religion, one form or another, and they only followed, do unto others as others would do unto you or have done unto themselves. That's the law of cause and effect right there. It's just right. Conscious. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Because
do you think the occult in all those fields are just butchered? Or is there anything to magic or hermeticism, anything like that?
Not being really deeply schooled and only superficial, what I would say is this. What works, because some of this Myers explained as well, what works about any kind of magic is a placebo or nocebo effect.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Yeah. So he believed in hypnosis in a way.
Believe in what? Hypnosis?
Yeah. Just the idea of the power of suggestion.
Well, and Meyer writes about it, and it can be very useful. And placebo effect has a beneficial effect. I know someone who's in medicine, I won't say more about it, who is into the Meyer material, and has written about the placebo effect, utilizing info from Meyer, and he works at a very high level in medicine. And he also has written about the nocebo effect. And it's just like, because energy follows thought, the might of the thoughts. If you focus and dwell on that which is negative, you get the negative. If that's what you enjoy, you're happy with it, fine. If you focus on the positive, ultimately you are led to that. But there must be both. That's the difference here.
Do Meyer's teachings teach you about elevating your consciousness? Or, I mean, there are a lot of people that talk about that. The ancient alien stuff points to that the Egyptians and the Mayans, Aztecs, they had far superior powers. They could communicate with each other telepathically. They could levitate. I mean, is there anything out there in the Meyer's material about having abilities beyond our current human form?
You'll like this. There's stuff we have on the blog, and I'll tell you what it's called so you can do it. But long ago, they also spoke about the pyramid, the Great Pyramid, the Sphinx, and the fact that worldwide there are pyramids, all of which were basically constructed initially at the same time. I think it's 72,000 plus years ago. They had been, the Great Pyramids and the pyramids at Giza had originally been built with the help, not completely by, with the help of certain beings from the Orion galaxy. Now there's more to this and it gets kind of interesting. The pyramids had been rebuilt at different times historically when certain things fell to disrepair. And at a certain point in history, information was inscribed on the exterior warning of astronomical events that were coming that were going to disrupt the earth, which did come, but were properly acted upon by some wise kings in Egypt and all. There was the most recent remodeling, if you will, of the Great Pyramid was just a few thousand years ago. So there are things that don't remain any longer from the original and some that do. Now, from the Orion galaxy, there were beings that had certain telekinetic, certain highly developmental abilities, which were used in concert with the physical labors that were done to build the pyramids. Now, recently we had two articles that were put up on They Fly blog, and you'll find them when you look for ancient earth people or ancient human beings, because in Meyer's material, he speaks quite a bit about, or a reasonable amount, about what are called the long skulls.
Right.
Right?
We hear about this a lot.
Yes. And they came to Egypt, and in some cases they became rulers in Egypt, and they helped with, these are the ones, I think, and in South America. And when you look, their artwork, their sculptures, their pyramids, all of them were similar. And there was a guy from, there were also negative ETs that got based among the Aztecs, I think it was. And those negative ETs had blood sacrifices they conducted. There was, this is what I'm saying, when you understand why the play are and why this mission, we have a bloodthirsty history. And some of it came from the ETs who set it in motion. Well, in Egypt, there was an extraterrestrial whose name was Quetzalcoatl, the feathered serpent.
Associated with 2012. I remember people talking a lot about Quetzal around 2012.
They got a lot wrong about that too. So, you know, I mean, it just
of course, it got, that was a money grab thing for a lot of people too. But yes.
So Quetzalcoatl came to the South American ETs of a different race to try to convince them to stop doing the human sacrifice thing. And they basically ran him off. It didn't work. So he went back. And then the long skulls eventually either died out or may have been overthrown. There's some information. Sometimes I don't get to read everything I put up because I'm going through things
What
fast.
About the Nephilim? The Nephilim, the giants that roam the earth.
Yeah, well, this is in the Meyer material. There were beings who came or who arose on earth through the procreation between a certain extraterrestrial race and earth women gave birth to these humans that then grew massively up to 33 feet. I can't even imagine it. Yeah.
They really don't talk about this stuff in school. This is wild.
Well, this stuff, the thing about it is when you get into it, there are books in the, and pages and articles in Meyer material where they delve into the histories. And yes, the giants that were on Earth. And yes, the very small people that were here that actually were based, some of whom lived in Switzerland, right at the area where Meyer has his center and his home. used to be something called Lake Sanura. And there were these tiny little beings that lived there. They were dwarfs. And all over the Myers property, kind of as an homage to them, he's got these cute little corny statues of like gnomes and elves and what have you. But they were a whole race of beings who, when the Lake Sanura flooded through that area, and they all were, you know, drowned or run off. And then in time, the waters had receded, and it's now this particular, it's a beautiful property. I just wish I could go again. It doesn't look like it with the travel, but they actually, one woman there got a photograph. There was a race, a dwarf race of highly advanced beings who came to that property, Myers, to clean it energetically. And she caught a half photo of one of them. And then there's footprints from the tiny people and footprints from some of the big ones who've been there. Oh my gosh.
Are leprechauns real?
I think they're based on real beings. I don't know. You know, I mean, there are dwarfs. There are very tiny humans, and there are throughout the universe, there are different sized people, and people with more, you know, we've already talked about more than five fingers, perhaps some with less, maybe one eye, like a cyclopsian being, and people of different amphibian looking people, not the reptilian creatures that
there's this archons, these scary lizard reptilians of the New World Order.
You just have somebody sitting at the CIA saying, let's see, what shall we give them? Archon, yeah, you turn that word into, and okay, fine, and let's get some really crazy shit in here. And then they get it, you know, to the people in ufology, and the next thing you know,
Do you think the New World Order, all that stuff, is that complete BS? The Rothschilds, the Morgan Stanley.
There are, and this is what was very interesting in the Meyer material. There's not just one mega power that runs everything. There are a number of mega powers that vie with each other as well. There are various elite and various, you know, families, maybe banking and all this stuff, but it's not yet under one control. And the EU has sought and is seeking to do that. And they will get pretty far with some stuff, but they will falter too. It will get overthrown. It's going to be bad for a while. There is going to be globalization with biochipping shit that is, you know,
oh, man.
That people don't fight against, and Meyer wrote a long ago, people must stand up or they will be enslaved. And you look at the way people roll over already in this country for all the stuff that's being done, and you know, in the name of this disease, and how this separate, you know, the discriminate, and Meyer saw this when he was, I think, 9 or 10. The vaccinated and the unvaccinated, the discrimination, and make no mistake about it, it's adopted by those who feel that, because you have to understand, there's so much money in the pharmaceuticals, there's so much money to get people to do certain things who normally might not do those things. And when they are running this division between the vaccinated and the carrier, this is, most people alive today, you know, the younger, they don't remember anything. Nazism was ending when I was just a kid. They don't remember what that was about. This is the new Nazism, and it's helped by this, the World Forum thing, that we get all these young leaders together who will do—
World Economic Forum?
That's it. And you've got this, like, Jacinda in New Zealand, who I thought at first, well, she seems like a cool person. Oh, this girl can't wait to lock everybody up. And you just trust us. We are your source of the true information. And people are stupid enough, they fall for this shit. It's like, get the hell out of here. Go take the garbage out, you moron. You think I believe anything, let alone you? And people are they're weak. I'm sorry to say this. They're too weak to stand up for themselves. They're too weak to think for themselves. And this is why now, forget the elite and all that stuff can only pull this off if people are namby-pamby and willing to roll over and buy into any damn thing, whether it's left or right. You've got, pardon me, you've got them on the right. I'm a patriot. Trump, bring him in. You know, Meyer's material about Trump, oh, they even went into his past personalities. And I'm not going to go into that, except to say that this guy has fooled all these poor people. I was saying this to people before I ever saw anything from Meyer. this guy's a psychopath, a narcissist, and he sees he can play these people on the right with the Patriot card, and they never stop to think, this guy's a multi-gazillionaire, and all those medicines he got when he came down with COVID, he could afford to send that out all over the country. He could afford to put out hermetically sealed quarantines. He could afford the millionaires, the billionaires in this country, the multi-billionaires. Among them, when I looked it up, they had a combined wealth of over 10 point something trillion dollars. They could have come forward for the people that have helped make their wealth possible, their brothers and sisters in this country, and said, we're going to stop this thing. We'll do whatever it takes. Nah, these people are narcissists. They're pigs. They're nothing more than slobs that want to feed at the trough. And because the country has allowed itself to worship, oh, so-and-so is a billionaire, or Kim Kardashian's butt waddles across the screen with gold. No, I've got no use for this stuff. And you know what? I don't have nothing against Kim Kardashian. I mean, she's doing her thing. But there's people that elevate mindlessness to such a high thing. People, can you not figure out what's worth something and what isn't worth anything? So we get the result, cause and effect. People can say, oh, you're wrong, you're crazy, it's all good. Okay, time will tell. I don't think it looks good right now. And I don't say
right.
It's foreign. And we've tried, and everybody that I know with the Meyer material, we've tried since we got a clue, since day one, to bring it forward to people so they could find it and think it through for themselves.
Now, wait a minute. Tell me this. Antarctica and UFOs. Anything there?
According to the little I read in the Meyer material, there was no Nazi base there that ever evolved. They might have fled there. Now, and Meyer hasn't commented that I know of on Bird or any of that. Remember, though, that he has said there is a mega entity underneath, but they are located more, from what I deduced, under the Gobi Desert, Himalayas and all that. They're not at Antarctica or the Antarctic.
Got it.
But I'm not making a definitive statement about any of that because I don't know.
What about Israeli space defense guy that said there's a Galactic Federation?
BS.
Trying to sell books?
Yeah. I mean, if the real Galactic Federation, which is one that the play aren't, and they don't call themselves the Galactic for the Brotherhood, the real Federation of an extraterrestrials spend their time 6 times a month doing a peace meditation on behalf of us, which those 30 something thousand people on Earth already who know about it do it. Today was the last day of the first weekend. It's 20 minutes long. Anybody that wants to learn it can do it. And it just contributes to the true peace energy. It's a very ancient meditation from an extraterrestrial race that carries frequencies that are intended through the might of the thoughts to help to bring peace. No obligation, but anybody wants to know. We have monthly meetings of people who, once a month with one group, maybe more with others, get together to talk about. It's leaderless. This is not about, well, so-and-so is the leader of the Meyer group here or there. No. We're responsible for thinking for ourselves, not to have people tell us how it's supposed to be. And, you know, Americans love to create cults. We don't have any part of that stuff. Nobody's ever knocked at anybody's door looking, I'd like you to join the Billy Meyer cult. Woo, free sex, free love. No, it hasn't. That's Rye aliens, you know, another source.
Right.
Cuckoo stuff.
Very interesting. I mean, I do find it. Well, look, everybody needs to check out theyliveblog.com.
They fly blog.
They live. I'm too into the new world order. Yes, theyflyblog.com. Wow, you know, I mean, look, you're making me question all these other great people in the UFO space. Now I know you're not saying everybody isn't telling the truth, but you think a majority of them are completely distorting the ET experience.
My thing is, I am really, I like to say I'm persona au gratin in the ET UFO world because I don't have good things to say about the people because I've followed them as well for the past 20 years. I've reached out to all of them. I've asked them for their evidence. I've asked them for their help. I've asked them to come forward and be truthful. And so far, not a one, certainly of the ones that you are familiar with, have done it. I think rather, but that's my, oh, he's just a, he's sour on that. So the real way to do it, in my opinion, and I would do it this way, is I would say, okay, well, I think so and so has said that they're a genuine contactee. Now, this guy I had on, Michael Horn, he chatted with us for 15 minutes or so, and he said that evidence, where's the evidence and the independent analysis? So tell me, Corey, I mean, tell me, oh,
What about
God.
Keys of Enoch? What's wrong with Keys of Enoch? That seems pretty legit. The Hurt tax work.
Well, her tax work. I can't comment fully because I haven't read it all. I once leafed through some, but here's my statement. It's like this. I call it the mother lode. Let's say there's people that are out there. They're all looking to find. It's miners. They want to find the mother lode. It's rumored to still exist. This one mine, and there's all these miners. And then one day, a guy stumbles into the salon where everybody's sitting around, or saloon rather in those days, and he says, "I found it. I found the mother lode." And I tell you what, folks, I sequestered for myself more money and more wealth than I can use in 10 lifetimes, and you'll never find what I got, but here's where the rest of it is, and there's more than enough for all of you. Here it is, free. Go get it. Now, if that's so, and if people go, now some other guy walks in and he says, "Well, I found a place where there's a gold mine, or it's rumored to be maybe if you keep digging, or this guy over here said he." We've got it. We found the mother lode. We can be greedy. I mean, there's so much here for greedy. We can keep, but what do we need? What do you have to offer? What is the only thing I care about is the truth. I don't care if it came from Stephen Bassett or Stephen Greer or any of these people. And in the early days of this, when I started doing lectures in 1987, after, God, this is fantastic. I was the opening act for the guy who was doing the Meyer lectures in the 80s. I was
Wow.
doing, and I said to him one day, "I want to do these lectures." And he says, "Here's some slides, go do it." And I started doing it myself. And then in Switzerland, they asked him to not do it anymore because the reason I want to do it, he was changing stuff and he was a great lecturer. I don't know why he bothered, but he was messing it up. And I said, "I'm going to do it the way you want it." And I created a contract with Billy Meyer. They created it with me starting in 2004. Every 7 years, we renew it. And what does it say? Basically, I will go out there, I present the material as it is. I will not receive money from Billy Meyer to do it. I will not pay him money. I will do it and I will just keep it. And I'm free to say I don't know or I disagree. I just want to do it so that this time I can at least contribute to
Do
helping
you make
the.
money? How do you make money? I'm worried
Well,
about you.
I'll tell you when I make money. I don't mind telling you. First of all, anytime I've gone to lecture UFO things, those sometimes it's $150. I made more than that once when people brought me to Hong Kong. I do my blog for free. I do my interviews for free, of course. I do everything else for free. I will make money if people will buy my films or my books. And I'm light touch on that because I don't feel that it's right to make it a big promotional thing. And at the same time, it's there. If you like all the rest of it, you want more, thank you very much. I've made four films. I'm making another one. Here's all the books we've got from Billy. Geez, it's the greatest stuff on earth. But you can do it all for free.
Yeah. There's a lot out there. I mean, this website is filled with stuff, tons of stuff.
Ask Stephen Greer to do it all for free and to give away, give the money back to all the people that he conned out of it with this free energy bullshit.
Yeah, man. What about Edgar Mitchell? I mean, Edgar Mitchell, like, was Edgar Mitchell conned by Stephen Greer?
I don't know enough about that. I know that Edgar Mitchell started something with a conviction to try to find the truth about stuff. A lot of the astronauts had seen things. And I sent him information while he was alive about the Meyer case, and I thought there might be a chance. But fortunately, while I didn't get a chance to see that realized, it was great that, you know,
Gordon Cooper.
Gordon Cooper just put it out there straight.
Yeah. I mean,
and look, the astronauts were trained. They were trained in photography. They had to know what was a natural anomalous object, what might not be, because, you know, NASA knew they didn't want the astronauts suddenly going, holy God, you know, okay, you might see some stuff. You can refer to it as a bogey or don't say anything. Or, you know, they had their protocols, of course. And I know people who are involved with, well, I have a NASA aerospace guy. He's no longer at NASA. He endorsed the Meyer case. A guy who was vice president of operations, orbital competitor to Musk, he endorsed the Meyer case. He's got a friend who's still OSI and all this stuff. He said the Meyer case. They know. But, you know, it's maybe it's not their battle. It's the battle of the ordinary person who'd like to see this world and their country survive, who either gets off their ass and does something, you know, just even for themselves. You don't have to go pound them doors. So you can send inquiries. You can ask me, well, if I was to send something to somebody, what would it be? Also, well, here, look at this stuff. Send them Joe Tisk's, you know, the OSI guy. Send him his article. Send him the article from the lawyer. Send him this, send him that. Ask him why they've never covered this.
Yeah, you know? I'm wondering, why does it? This is crazy. I mean, we hear about Betty and Barney Hill. We hear about the Phoenix Lights. We hear about all these things. But Meyer's stuff is not really covered that much. No. I know we talked about this at the beginning, but I mean, what do you think? Okay, here's my real question before we end all of this, because I've been so grateful for your time, Michael. This has been, I mean, there's just so much mind-blowing stuff. I might need to recover to take all this in. Why, if there are people out there that, I mean, I'm kind of amazed that Coast to Coast has had you on in light of the fact that this Billy Meyer stuff isn't covered in this way, because there are people out there that do documentaries. We've seen a lot of documentaries recently about the UFO phenomenon and people coming on and some of the names I mentioned before and all of them. But then nobody taps the Billy Meyer thing, it seems. Why? What do you think that is? I mean, not because these people are trying to sell stuff, but is it just because these other people are out there promoting themselves more and the Billy Meyer people are just kind of like, nah, this is here and we're not selling anything? Is that what you think the reason is? Or is there an active agenda to hide Billy's things? I mean, what is going on with the UFO curators, if you will, not going into this as much?
Well, I don't know which ones you mean, but I want to tell you a couple things since you touched on it. I was interviewed on Coast to Coast about 20 times. And the last time was, I think, February 21st, 2020. And in that time, I mentioned something because I'd been interviewed on an ABC TV news show in San Diego on January 23rd. And it was either, okay, so I was interviewed in, and at the time I was interviewed on the TV news show on ABC, the coronavirus thing had just happened. And the woman said to me, well, what are some of the urgent things? And I said, well, you know, there's this thing called the coronavirus, and Billy Meyer mentioned it. And that was the first time. So when I mentioned it on Coast to Coast, I didn't have any more info. Now, here's what happened. And I'm okay. On about the 23rd of February, I received the stuff that I published on the 25th. On the 27th, I think it was, I contacted the producer for George Norrie, and I said to her, Lisa, I'd like to go back on George for just 10 minutes because I got the information from Billy and the Play Aaron about what this virus is really about. And the real scoop on this is far more than what, and no, you were on. I said, wait, Lisa, I got the information, but you know this, 10, 12 minutes pounding my head again. You're not a doctor. I said, I'm not a doctor. I wouldn't come on as a doctor. Just give people the opportunity to know about. No. So on behalf of George Norrie, she blocked this information from the million or millions of people on coast to coast who could have had access to it February 27th, starting at that point, 2020, they would have known all the details. And I won't enumerate them right now, but they all turned out to be true. And I put online on that blog something, not only that, harsh truths from the player, and new online COVID test that currently has 36 items, including the 12 from that first thing, 36 items that I found where, to the best of my knowledge in searching, critical long COVID, Wuhan, you name it, really, you know, clots, all this terrible stuff. We were the first. I was the first person in America to publish it in English.
This is, everybody, check for yourself.
Check for yourself.
He's not hiding it.
You know, the WHO and the CDC declared this a pandemic. I think the date is March 11th. I published it February 25th. And Billy Meyer first published it February 3rd. Way ahead of all of this and everything else that came. Just do your due diligence. Now, as I've said, and I may even say on the blog, I might have missed something where somebody else published it at the same time or earlier. In one or two cases, Meyer's only a week or two in advance, but he's in advance. And as you even asked, I think, at the beginning of the show, we have blogs there where he said, in India, there will be this number, 300,000. In Brazil, and this and that. And then this will hit, and this, and there will be a new variant. It's there before it happens. Before it happens. And I have to update those and put those in, because those are hits too. He published it 3-4 weeks before we have the official numbers. And none of these geniuses, including the lovely doctors who are fighting for the truth to come out. I've sent it to Stu Peters, I've sent it to Jane Ruby. They all want to keep this, their face on the thing. Go ahead. And you're going to be ignored by too many people. How do you ignore a copyright? I've got a guy I know over 50 years, another one, doctor in Minnesota, tries to give me this vaccination will save the nation. I said, I'm Dick. Sorry, pal. That ain't happening. And I've published all these accurate things before any of your medical heroes. You know, what's wrong with you? Copyright. And these people, they don't want to touch it. Their whole worldview falls apart. You have to understand this. This one lawyer, he recognized it. I ran this, not the COVID thing, the Meyer case. I was in Vegas in 2013 at a MUFON event. They gave me a table for whatever reason, put stuff on. A guy comes over, older guy, shaking his head. And I said, hey, can I help you? Yeah, I'm into UFOs. I'm interested in this. This Billy Meyer, this can't be true. Okay, sir, what do you do? I'm a retired judge. I said, may I step in your courtroom, Your Honor? And the guy was so cool right away. Okay, how can I help you? I said, Your Honor, let's make this simple. If I tell you that my friend in Switzerland published the information about Mercury, the surface of that planet contracting, the reason for it being the metal core, he publishes before NASA, would I have to prove that to you that he published it before NASA? He said, well, of course you have to prove it. I said, so if I take this book and I open it up and I show you this copyright date and I show you this conversation where he gets that information 20 years before NASA, who prevails in your courtroom? You do. How much is the book? How much is the film? How much is he understands? This is the difference between somebody who understands basic law, legal standard of proof, first publication. Doesn't mean it's true, means he published it first. Well, is it true? Yeah, we found out it was true 20 years later. NASA discovered it, so it's true. No, he was told it, and then they confirmed it later. So this is the problem here.
Now, of course, the biggest expose, right? Supposed expose. expose, and I know their articles, is the Cal Korf book.
Oh, Cal Korf. I just shut Cal Korf down so badly. First of all, Cal Korf's book has been ripped apart by three really good investigators who just showed it was utter nonsense. Here's what happened. 2004, Santa Clara, I guess it's 2004, at that same thing where I met David Wilcott, a guy comes up to me and he's talking to me and he's a little funny. He says, I kind of owe you an apology. Or Billy Meyer. I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, this is my card. His name is Garrett Morris. And he said, I'm an illustrator. And then he pulled out Cal Korf's card. And he said, this man hired me to take Billy Meyer's photos and put lines in them and everything else. He told me he wanted to see if it was possible. And then he took what I did and published it, claiming that that was Billy Meyer's. And I'm here to tell you, I'm the person that did that, and I'm so sorry. He wrote an article about it. It's on my website, Garrett Morris, Cal Korf. If you start going through this stuff or ask me links. And he said, and he wrote it, and he said, no. Now, then a bunch of other people started debunking, and they ripped Cal Korf's book apart. So Cal Korf recently was trying to attack me again. And I opened it up. I said, I'll debate Cal Korf and all these skeptics. Here's 12 points. This is what you have to answer first, if you want. Well, they decided they wouldn't do that. They had their own attacking Billy Meyer and me fest on a Zoom meeting. And I, you know, and I said, you've got to come here. I said, no, you guys, you have to substantiate this stuff. So Cal Korf wouldn't substantiate it. Then Cal Korf brags about how he had gone to Switzerland in disguise under fake names to try to trap the Billy Meyer cult, none such exists, never met with Meyer, and carried a hidden camera with a peephole in a bag or a box or something, and secretly was filming children without their parents' knowledge. So I posted blood since this guy, I posted, well, is Cal Korf a pedophile on top of everything else? Boy, Cal Korf disappeared very fast from the scene. This is what this guy's about. I mean, here's, okay, one more Cal Korf story since you brought it up. 2009, I've already debated Cal Korf, kind of kicked his butt on a radio debate, pops back up. Let's do a joint DVD project, Michael. I'll do the, you know, the anti-Meyer thing. It'll be very nice, but you do the pro-Meyer thing and we'll put out a joint DVD set. I said, fine, I don't care. I don't care. And no grudges against anybody. You want to do that? All right. I know Meyer is real. So I write to Billy Meyer in November in Switzerland. And I said, Cal Korf has approached me to do this thing. You know, and he writes back, well, do whatever you want. You're free. You do what you think. Then 2 days later, I get an email from Billy's assistant, a guy named Christian Frenner there. Billy asks you to just wait before you go ahead. We're translating a contact Billy had. He asked to play Aaron about this because he wasn't so sure. And he asked them to look into it. I said, okay, fine, whatever. The next day I get this article, and this, by the way, is on my website, the whole, all the thing. And one of the play Aaron comes to him and, you know, this little formal greeting. Hi, I understand you wanted so-and-so to look into this, and here's what we found out. Michael Horn doesn't know what's going on here. This Cal Korf guy has got a real agenda to attack you, Billy, to attack Michael, to attack the work, and to use Michael to disseminate it in DVDs. And they get, yeah, and, you know, it's like, we are recommending Michael might want to not do this thing. He's a little naive here.
Right.
And they also had some words that they said, Cal Korf is an intriguer who has some serious mental issues and paranoia and all. And he's just out to do as much harm as he can. And it's too bad. So I contacted Cal Korf and I said, listen, Cal, I'm going to back away from this project. You do whatever you want. I'm going to defer. And no, you've got to do this with me. Please. You can. I said, no. And finally he said, well, why? I said, listen, I have finally some advice from Switzerland, it's not a productive thing for me to involve. Well, as soon as that was expressed, the next day, CalCorp's website, which formerly had us practically running through the fields, you know, throwing flowers with each other, Michael Horn, wonderful friend of mine, we're going to 300 attacks against Meyer. The website, you didn't know what hit you. Death threats.
Oh my gosh.
And I succeeded in doing something that I don't know if anybody else ever did. I had his website taken down by three separate web hosting companies, domestic and international, because it was so crazy. And then we popped up again a fourth time. I thought, you know, I think I'm not going to do anything. At least I will find out what he's doing now. This guy was so vile. He was threatening. I mean, bad news. And he had discredited himself with people who were the web hosting companies by what he had done, separate stuff. So he's just a guy that got off on the wrong tangent. As far as I'm concerned, I don't have anything against him personally. It sounds stupid, but he's just an intriguer who he's endlessly trying to make up nonsense.
Right.
Probably he had support early on from the intelligence community and some stuff. And he never even had the courage to go knock on Billy's door. He didn't have the honesty to say, this is who I am and this is what I'm about, because his excuse was, if I told them who I was, they would throw me out or whatever. Well, maybe they would, maybe they wouldn't, but how do you know unless you're just honest? He's not an honest person. And that is just his psyche and his consciousness. I don't want to be in there when that collapses.
So look, speaking of collapsing psyches, to round this up, the movie Don't Look Up. What do we do about this cataclysm?
Well, here's what I would say if you really want to know what to do, because I'm going to try to do this, but again, I don't want to be the lone one. Anybody that would like to be a hero in this world, really, first you'd have to read the information about Apophis, the stuff that we have, the stuff NASA. You have to, first of all, decide for yourself if this seems real to you. And then if you're interested in helping, you would reach out to the people, the actors, the producers, the publicists, anybody connected with this. I think Leonardo DiCaprio, I mean, they're hard to reach people. They're so filtered, you know, with the
other
people. But these are good people. They wouldn't have done this if they, you know, if they didn't have some inkling. I think he's an environmentally concerned person. Jennifer Lawrence seems like a straight shooter. Help. Help us get what we have to them. It's free. Give it all to them. I've been living Don't Look Up for 20 years, trying to get the ears of somebody to say, listen, this is real. I reached out to scientists. I've got friends. I'm part of something called the A-Team. There's NASA, former orbital guy, a physicist in Sweden, scientist in England, and other people, all who know that the Meyer information on Apophis is more accurate than anything NASA has, unless they're now paying attention to it. So anybody wants to help, could we use it? We know where this will hit, according to the plan, between the North Sea and Black Sea. If that hits there, tens of millions of people, lives either immediately or shortly thereafter gone. Earth is cracking open, gases, tsunamis, nuclear power plants blowing.
The movie just a coincidence, or was it predictive programming?
I don't know. This is why when I saw it, I thought, these people, you've got to understand, when Tic Tac video came out, I had tried for years to get on I've done some college lecturing. A skeptical professor brought me in twice up here in Arizona. He said, you've got a lecture to Mike. Because I gave him the information on attacks on Paris from radical Islam in November, several days before the attacks occurred. He told his wife, holy cow, I already knew about this. So this guy, we'd been meeting every Saturday for lunch, and he's a skeptic. He said, you got to come. He had me come in and lecture twice. But I couldn't get on a regular lecture circuit with booking agents or any of these. And, you know, UFOs, oh, no, that's all nonsense. So suddenly the Pentagon puts out the silly Tic Tac thing, which is really probably from, you know, the race underneath here. Suddenly, and then Lou Elizondo pops up. I will always tell the truth. I will fight for, you know, the full disclosure. So I tweeted to him, hey, Lou, what's the truth about the Billy Meyer case? Wouldn't answer. So I found, what's his name? Christopher Mellon, who'd been on Joe Rogan.
Yeah, right.
I sent an email to him on LinkedIn. And I said to him about, I sent him links to Meyer stuff. And guess what he says to me? Exactly. What was I thinking? A senior moment. He knows Meyer's real. He won't talk about it. Then I got a hold of Danny Sheehan, who's Lou Elizondo's attorney. And I recorded it. I said, Danny, I'm, you know, talking about this thing. Oh, yeah, I know Billy Meyer. I'm on with him 10 minutes or something. He knows about Billy Meyer. So he won't come forward. So this is all so orchestrated. These people are so bought off. And who's going to suffer for it? Help us stop office, at least. Something.
Oh, my gosh. This is pretty scary stuff. It is. But, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, why Luis Alessandro? I mean, is it just because it's so out of left field? These shots are, because I'm going, look, Michael, I know this is, it seems to mean a lot to you, and you're encouraging people to do critical thinking, but I'm going, well, it's kind of a radical thing to suggest that these photos are real, and that people can just go to this website and immediately go, oh, well, all these photos mean this guy's telling the truth. I mean, how do you believe that? I could, in other words, I empathize with people that dismiss it immediately because you're looking at a guy that's talking about aliens. So how are you going to take his predictions about all this other stuff seriously? I mean, have you thought about that, that there's a PR problem here?
It's simpler than this. Look, in terms of the UFO stuff, on the blog and on my website, I've got links to all the independent expert scientific analyses, one after another. These people who analyze this stuff. Then I've got where state-of-the-art, more recent analyses were done, where the analyst said, here's the software we used to analyze all this stuff from the 70s. Anybody can analyze this. That means anybody that's serious, just about the UFO part, you can do the same thing. We've got a thing up there. Do this thing. Take one of Meyer's UFO photos right off of my website, drop it into Photoshop, adjust contrast and brightness. Suddenly, it's not a gold object against a black curtain. It's a real craft above a hillside and a gravel road, and you do it yourself. Okay, that's if you care about the UFO part. If you want to know if this guy's really meeting with extraterrestrials, start looking through the hundreds of prophecies, specific things on every planet, black holes, floods, fires, volcanic eruptions, assassinations, terror. I mean, the WTC, it's all there. And I won't go into that one right now real deeply, but it's all there. And it just... Right. Just a person has to go, well, how do I know this is true? On one page, like you're on my regular website, theyfly.com, there's something at the top says corroboration and evidence. Theyfly.com, corroboration and evidence, right?
Yeah.
Click on that. Now there, and don't worry about the first things you see there should be about seven items at the top of the page of evidence and this and that, right? Just seven things down there. And there's the green line underneath it.
Right, right.
Now, below the green line, scroll down a good little bit, and suddenly you start to see contact number such and such.
Yeah, wow, there's a lot here.
And then it says corroborated, doesn't it, as you scroll down? Contact such and such. Corroborated. And what that means is and others, we went through the available at the time, and there's more we found, probably 100 more, specific things we dug out that Meyer was told or given as a prophecy. In some cases, he's just told, hell, well, you ask about this thing, and but a discovery. And, scientists, he was even told what the name of the friggin' thing that they would launch 10 years later were, and they named it that. But there's all this stuff, the stuff about Mars. I went up to see a scientist working on the Mars project. I blew his mind. He couldn't figure out how I had this stuff where this guy knew this before he, a NASA scientist, knew it.
So tell me this. Has Billy been, what does Billy say about the moon? A lot of people think the moon's a weird place.
We've shown that a couple of times, one as a child. There may be some stuff on the other side, but it's a natural object. It's not hollow. It wasn't dragged in by some ETs. It was brought in with if I get this right, destroyer. When the destroyer comet came through, I think that's when the moon may have been dragged in. I might be wrong in my chronology. I know that Venus was brought in too, by natural occurrences astronomically, not by extraterrestrials and all this nonsense. And Meyer talked about what was on the surface of Mars and the previous civilization that had been there and how they were wiped out and the asteroid. But I mean, Greg, we've just touched the tip.
Is there life on Mars?
Not any longer. Let me correct that. As Meyer was told in 1976, there is very minute floric and faunic life forms, but not life forms that, like creatures walking around. There used to be civilization there. There were humans there. There were life forms, animals. There were vast rivers that flowed there. Meyer, we published the exact accurate information on the water on Mars, which direction it flowed, where most of it was, before NASA ever discovered it.
Okay, everybody's got to check this out. Theyflyblog.com, theyfly.com. If you want to debate Michael Horn, sounds like he's open to it. Skeptics, come on.
Qualified. I just say this because I've mopped the floor with a lot of people who are minor and the bigger ones who won't, the ones who won't take me on, I told you. But I don't mind debating. I mean, I think first do your homework. If you're a real UFO researcher and really think you could, I'm going to show you how these photos are taken. Fine, I'd be glad to debate you. We could, if you want to do it here, if Greg wants to host a debate or something, it's fine. But please know what you're talking about, because otherwise you're done in 5 minutes.
And
it's there. And this doesn't take, I'm not a genius. I simply know enough of this material, and I know probably 20 other people who know enough of this material that could mop the floor with any of these skeptics. We took the time to do the due diligence.
Also, for people that don't realize it, that the X-Files poster, it's a Billy Meyer photo.
Yep.
People do not, that should be, that would be the first thing I would wonder. I'd go, I want to believe. Where does that come from? Oh, wait.
That's it. It was a modified version. And, Greg, there's so much here.
So tell me this, before we go, there is so much stuff about UFOs and a lot of things out there. Leaked files from the CIA and the government. How much of those leaked files are complete BS? Any of the stuff coming up, stuff about Roswell, stuff about, really, even the remote viewing on the planet Mars with the pyramid, all that stuff. Should we trust any of these documents from the CIA, or is it all just fraud?
I'd say that there's some stuff where they probably have information on real sightings and stuff like that. I won't say it. I don't think it's very important in the overall scheme of things, but they've got some real information. As for remote viewing, in 1995, I found this guy named Ed Dames who was teaching.
Right. The famous, very famous guy.
I set up the technical remote viewing home study course. I was the associate producer. I brought him together with a producer. We went to Hawaii and shot that. And I kind of designed the way it should go. And I found out that Ed Dames could teach remote viewing to a degree, but he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it to save his life.
Oh my gosh. Now that's kind of earth-shattering.
Taught me how to do it in I don't know, an hour. And I was, before we went to Hawaii, I thought, I wonder what the guy looks like who's got the studio there. And I picked up a pencil and I drew it out. And I basically drew what the guy looked like because Ed had taught me something about it, but he couldn't do it. And I'm sorry to say, the evidence showed he couldn't do it.
That's fine. Oh, wow. Wow.
I had to testify in a lawsuit the producer brought against Ed Dames, and I had to review every Art Bell radio program where Ed Dames made predictions, and he didn't get anything right. And Ed Dames had, I called it an oral charisma. He's very convincing. I thought I wanted to set him up. He said you could and he could teach it. That was the joke here, to a degree. So, but then I found out I'm working with a guy for about a year. He can't do this shit. So it was a disappointment. We were doing it, a lot of this stuff in Beverly Hills off of Robertson Olympic somewhere. Anyway, but with the other stuff, there have been some other sightings of extraterrestrials, yes. Other craft, yes. But this, why and how this is different, you can go through this and try to figure out if it's real, what does it mean to you? Now that you know, what does it mean? Remember, my perspective is the confirmed existence of and contact with advanced space traveling extraterrestrials would be the single most important discovery in science and human history. And the unasked question, here it is, in all of ufology, what is the reason for the contacts? And I've been answering that since 2004 when I put out my little DVD, The Meyer Contacts, The Key to Our Future Survival. That's what this is about. It's not about ETs. It's not about prophets. It's not about having a gig as a UFO expert or anything. It's about getting a clue. This is about our survival.
Yeah.
That's how I see it. And it's now up to anybody that's interested. I answer all my email. It takes me time. I answer challenges. It takes me time. But this is what I do. It's a labor of love because I would like to see our country and our world survive and thrive. And this is the best thing I can do that I know of.
Towards that. Wow. Well, I am so grateful that somebody is exploring this stuff in as much depth as you are. Michael Horn, American Ambassador of Billy Meyer, as well as researcher, author, filmmaker. I mean, this is a guy who's been doing it for a while. Take him on. He's ready for the challenge. You want to debate this guy? He'll give you a run for his money if you know research. But I admire the diligence with which you've dedicated yourself to one person's accounts as well as the phenomena around it. And hey, look, if you can prove that this is a hoax, good luck. Try. Let's just see if you can.
Look, I'm one of 120 people now who've been in close proximity. We've seen the craft. That's anecdotal because most of that, apart from
how close did you see it? Well, you're pretty close to it.
20 feet. I was living in the mountains of Brazil at the time. It was 10:05 p.m. on October 3rd.
Did Billy know you were going to see it at that point, or?
Well, I went over to Switzerland after that a week later, and I said, Billy, you know, on last Saturday or last Friday, whatever that was, October 3rd, 2011, I was out there and he's, oh yeah, that's the little monitoring craft. They just come by sometimes. They have them at the center all the time. People see them there all the time. There's photographs of them and everything. So it's just a small little craft, but it was startling at first. Oh, what's that? You know, another thing. But anyway, that's the anecdotal part. I don't take that to, you know, into the courtroom or anything, so to speak. you take the real easy to prove evidence, the stuff that where somebody with a brain goes, hold it, case closed, you won, and you're done, and that's it.
Right. But,
you know, we're a slow learning society here. We're going to scramble around with COVID and fight the simplest ways of defeating it until we're blue in the face. But that's another thing. I hope I'll get a link to our interview here, our conversation.
Yeah, no, I mean, I will definitely make sure you have this. And yeah, what a very, very strange case. But hey, yes, it's out there. So check it out. Michael Horn, thank you again so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
Greg Bornstein, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Michael Horn tells the Billy Myers story. Why is this so controversial? I already had Cal Korf call me out on Facebook saying all these bad things, it's a sex cult, it's all this stuff, but Cal still won't debate Michael on the show. We'll see what happens. I want to thank Ronnie McGilvery for the theme music. If you like this podcast, make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel and rate this show and leave a review on Apple Podcast. I greatly appreciate it. Thank you for listening. Oh, and book a hypnotherapy session with me if you want it. Link in the comments. We'll talk soon.